Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
An Erio's original.
Hello, and welcome to Web Crawlers, the podcast where we do a deep dive into some of our favorite mysteries. Each week, we will introduce our topic, lay out our research and findings, reveal some conspiracy theories, and conclude with our own hypothesis. I'm Allie Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Stetton.
And where is Maria? Where is Maria?
We know where Maria is.
But do you?
But do you?
Melissa, who are our patrons for today?
We have Ms. Robinson and Bobby Jean.
Bobby Jean, I believe, is the name of the girl who was in Tu Wong Fu, one of the characters' names, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. You and Martin have to watch it.
I've heard it's amazing. I don't know why I haven't seen it.
Oh, John Leguizamo is so good.
I fucking love John Leguizamo. Yeah, love him in Romeo and Juliet.
I go hard for Leguizamo. He is so good. Yeah, we're Leguizamo heads over here at Web Crawlers. Welcome to the team, guys. There's some fun stuff in store for you now that I am out of my COVID bubble. Melissa, what is our episode on today? I don't even know.
Well, today is this thing called Munchausen by Internet.
Oh, I love Munchausen by proxy, so now I'm excited.
Yeah, and it's about this insane Durr family Facebook hoax that got crazier and crazier the more it was exposed. Durr is spelled D-I-R-R, not Durr.
Durr.
It's this hoax that I was pretty big back in 2012. I had never heard of.
Oh, my God.
I don't know where I found it. I was just going down, looking up hoaxes and saw the most famous hoax. I was in one of my holes and I found this article in The Guardian written by Taryn Wright. It's crazy. It's really crazy.
I can't wait.
Let's get into it. Okay. On May 13th, 2012, the father of Dana Durr, who's a 35-year-old surgeon in Saskatchewan, Canada, posted on Facebook, "Urgent prayers needed." The post said his daughter Dana was fighting for her life after this terrible car accident. Dana had been airlifted to the hospital, coincidentally the same hospital where she was working as a trauma surgeon, and Dana was also 35 weeks pregnant.
Oh no.
So of course, like, hundreds of supportive comments flooded in. The family was like updating everyone on Dana's status.
Yeah.
The entire Durr family was very open about sharing every detail of their life on Facebook. They were like one of those
Oh, God.
Facebook families, whatever.
Yeah.
Then Dana's husband, JS, he had been active on social media and in online communities for over 10 years. And he had acquired hundreds of pretty much online-only friends.
Listen, unfortunately, I get it.
Yeah, I got a lot of followers on Twitter. I get it. And he had at least one online lover.
Ooh.
Same. In 2010, 2 years before Dana's accident, Dana and JS had become like minor internet celebrities because they were sharing the story of their 7-year-old son, Eli, who was battling his fourth bout of cancer. Oh, and they called him Warrior Eli.
Oh, gosh.
So it was like little news stories and like things about like, pray for Eli.
I can totally imagine it. Yeah.
So while Dana was in the hospital, JS posted that their baby Evelyn was born at 11 p.m., but then an hour later, Dana died.
Oh, shit.
And then JS said she wouldn't have wanted Evie's birthday to be overshadowed by the death of her death every year, so she waited until just 2 minutes after midnight on Mother's Day to leave us.
Okay.
And everyone was like, oh, that's what a coincidence. Yeah. How dramatic.
Yeah.
So the family's friends and followers asked them about setting up like crowdfunding to raise money for JS and the family. But he turned it down.
Interesting.
He said the Canadian healthcare system would be paying for everything, which is
probably true. Yeah.
And instead, the family asked for donations to be made to Alex's Lemonade Stand, which is a childhood cancer charity. It's like a legit charity. So the Facebook friends of the Durs were like devastated about Dana's death. They had gotten to know this family over like many, many years of them just posting about their lives. And all their kids, they had like 11 kids.
Yeah, and like their sorrow and their health issues, like I'm sure, yeah.
So then cut to Taryn Wright. She's a journalist living in Chicago. She stumbled upon the story of Dana Durr, but she was also like a little suspicious and didn't think things added up. It was Dana's dramatic death, the birth of her baby on Mother's Day. And it wasn't reported anywhere else in the media. Like, there were no...
That's bizarre.
...death announcements, no anything. And the more Taryn looked into it, the more the entire Durr family saga, which was, like, chronicled in 10 years of blog posts, MySpace pages, online photo albums, and Facebook, it just seemed a little off. There were too many kids. Too many of them were twins.
I don't like it already.
There were murders, mistaken identities, just so much drama in this family. It all sounded like a soap opera.
Do you remember, this is unrelated, but there was that influencer who was like, got famous for being a travel influencer, and then it turned out everything was like a green screen.
Oh, yeah, she did it, like, to see if she could trick people into it.
Yeah, she just, like, photoshopped herself in different places and, like, green-screened her place. That's like, it's scary what people do. Yeah.
So Taryn did, like, the classic catfish trick of reverse image searching a bunch of these photos of the Durr family. And she found that all of the photographs had been taken from a South African blogger. None of the photos of this family were real.
What?
Also, Dana Durr was supposedly a trauma surgeon. There was no doctor profile on the hospital's website. There were no search results that hadn't been like written by the Durrs themselves.
That's crazy.
So she's like, wait a minute. She was pretty sure this Dana person didn't even exist.
Seems like it, yeah.
So she started a blog to keep track of all the research. She called it the Warrior Eli Hoax Group.
Oh, God.
Which is still up today.
Oh, really?
And then she posted it on Facebook, and then a bunch of people started joining the group, and they posted, like, all their own findings. Like, they would do reverse image searches for photos and put, like, who the real photo belongs to.
Oh, no.
And some had that were friends with the Durrs, like Facebook friends, they were pretty upset that they had been lied to for like a decade.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like a, what was it? Gypsy whatever.
Rose Blanchard?
Yeah, Blanchard. Yeah, Gypsy Lee is like the burlesque dancer. Gypsy.
Blanchard, yeah. Yeah, crazy. And then some some of the people were like volunteers in childhood cancer communities.
Oh my God.
So they were obviously pissed. And then some people were just like members of the blog, were just random people who stumbled upon it and who were just like fascinated by the whole situation.
You.
That's me.
Yeah.
So after having figured out that Dana Durr most likely didn't exist, Taryn started looking into the Durr's Facebook friends.
Uh-oh.
She said, when I Googled their names, nothing came up. And when I started looking up their photos, I found that they had been stolen too. Not only did Dana Durr not exist, neither did her husband or her sixth son, Eli.
Oh,
more than 70 of the Durr's Facebook friends were fake too. So she was creating, or this person was creating, over 70 different Facebook profiles to like comment.
This seems unbelievable, but you see it on Catfish,
yes,
like the show Catfish, where people actually do it. And this is an actual real phenomenon that
it's
people
crazy.
Do this. And it's bizarre and insane. It has to be a new mental illness. I mean, I guess it's what you're explaining it is. It a new mental illness. I mean, it's crazy.
It's really, yeah. This is 2012. And Catfish, the movie, was like, came out around the same time.
Yeah.
So this was like a new thing that people were discovering, like, holy shit, you can do this. Like, you can just create your own world.
And completely unique to the internet area.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, before, I mean, there's dissociative personality disorder, but that's something that's completely internal. This is something that you can choose to do, create
so
your own
crazy.
Alternate. It's just bizarre.
It's just the organization of it all and like the time spent doing this.
Yeah. How do these people do this?
That's,
I do not keep up with the lies. I can't even return an email. Like, these people are nuts. Remember all those passwords?
Oh my God. Get, I have a note in my phone that has a list of passwords because I just don't
I need
know.
To do that. I just forget my passwords all the time.
Yeah, I change every day. I'm changing a password every
change
day.
A password. Yeah.
So previously, this Taryn Wright, she had also followed stories of people creating fake personas in the early days of social media, like Casey Nicole, who was a teenager dying of leukemia, who turned out to be a healthy middle-aged woman. And then Jesse Jubilee James was a cowboy, fireman, poet.
Definitely cowboy. I
who was
that.
Suicidal and had liver cancer. Actually turned out to be a woman in her mid-50s. Because like in
so
the early
weird.
Days of the internet, you hear this story and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is so sad. But now like people do it all the time, like create fake personas. But this was like a new thing.
It just turns into people's creative writing project.
Yeah. It's fun. So in 1951, the British endocrinologist Richard Asher coined the term Munchausen syndrome, which we have all heard, for people who complained of being sick for attention.
Mm.
And this is crazy. Munchausen patients have been known to bleed themselves in order to appear anemic.
Whoa.
Or to dose themselves with chemotherapy drugs they don't need.
I've heard of Munchausen by proxy where caregivers were making people sick.
That was
and
Gypsy
I knew,
Rose, right?
Yeah.
Her mom was giving her all these crazy drugs.
Yeah, to make them sick so that they feel needed. Munchausen, I never knew that they were making themselves sick.
Yeah, I always thought
attention.
It was, like, in their heads. Like,
yeah, I thought it was, like, hypo.
Sick.
But I guess that's hypochondria, maybe.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, these people were, like, actually making themselves sick.
That's crazy.
Crazy. But then in 1998, after noticing an increase in similar behavior online, Dr. Mark Feldman, who's a clinical professor of psychiatry, coined the term Munchausen by internet. To describe people who spread accounts of fake illness online. He said,
wow.
For most of these deceivers, sympathy and attention is the main thing. They get nurturance they feel unable to get in any other way. They may have poor social skills, poor coping strategies, and pretending to be ill allows them to manifest this innocent and caring community. Which is true.
For sure. I mean, absolutely. I absolutely understand the underlying incentive of it.
It's really
crazy.
It's
just...
He also said before the advent of the internet, people would have to read medical textbooks, or go to medical libraries to learn about esoteric ailments. They also had to practice their pain faces in the mirror, then go to the ER and enact a painful crisis of some sort for the staff. Now you can just go to Wikipedia, become an expert on an ailment in 20 minutes, and you go online and instantly find a supportive community.
Well, this is the problem with TikTok, is I know so many people who are diagnosing themselves with ailments from a TikTok
especially
video.
Especially ADHD. There's so many like TikTok ADHD videos. Like, if you do this, if you do that, you have ADHD.
Yeah. ADHD and autism, I've noticed, are big.
Autism is a big one, too. Yeah.
Neurodivergence. Mm-hmm. And I suggest you go to a doctor and not TikTok.
Yeah.
But we're so, you know, Dr. WebMD these days.
WebMD, baby.
My doctor told me I'm not allowed to go on WebMD. Like, I'm just as guilty. Like, I diagnosed, the other day I diagnosed myself with some disorder that, who's that singer? Halsey? Halsey, an article came out that Halsey was diagnosed with all this stuff. And I was like, I have 3 out of 4 of these things.
I saw that too. And I was like, especially being pregnant. Like, I've been Googling so much shit. Where I'm like, oh, fuck, I have that. My baby is going to die. Like, I have all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Halsey has some disorder where her joints pop out or hurt and she's, like, too flexible or something. And I was like, I have that. I have that. I need to go to the doctor immediately. Yeah. It's just, like, restless leg syndrome or, like, I just don't get around enough. But, yeah, I mean, I think we all do it to varying degrees. It's just how badly are we craving that attention and community, or is that our only outlet?
Yeah, but if you post it on the internet, you get tons of people who are like specifically searching for that, who are like, oh my god, I have that too.
Yeah,
like, you have that too, I'm so sorry, like, I hope you feel better. Like, you just instantly get all the support.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, so absolutely crazy.
So then back in 2012, Taryn Wright, she wrote tons of blog posts about the Durs. She traced a photo of Dana Durr's pregnant belly back to a New York mother and tracked down 10-year-old blog posts about the tragic murder of JS's fictional twin. Like, apparently her husband's twin got murdered.
This girl cray.
She should be, well, this person should be in a creative writing class.
Yeah, take a creative writing course. Audit a creative writing course. Yeah. You don't have to.
Seriously, just submit this as your sample. So it didn't take long for the Warrior Eli hoax group to figure out who was behind the Durr drama. Mm. So several of the family supporters had received packages of plastic bracelets with a message of support for Warrior Eli. In each case, the return address was a home in Rootstown, Ohio.
Interesting.
That had like a real address on it. And then the public records show that it's owned by a man named William Durr. So records show that William Durr has a 22-year-old daughter named Emily Durr.
Okay.
And the packages had been sent and paid for by JS's sister, Emily.
Huh.
And Emily Durr had like her own online presence. She was a medical student in Ohio. So Taryn Wright was like, oh my God, is this the real person behind all of this? Like, she's the only real member of the Durr family that she could find.
Yeah.
So Taryn posted this all on the blog. Emily Durr contacted Taryn.
Oh my God.
She admitted that she had created the whole saga.
What?
She said the story began in 2004 and it was a way to keep herself entertained, like fan fiction about a group of characters of her own invention.
Girl.
She wrote a public apology. She said, this all started 11 years ago when I was a bored 11-year-old kid looking for an escape from the pain and heartache I saw in my own family. It started almost 11 years old started this. She said, it started almost as fiction writing, but the more time I spent escaping to it, the more real it became. I'm so sorry it hurt so many real families and so many people out there. Which is like, she didn't make money from this.
Yeah.
Because remember, she's like, please, like, Canadian healthcare covers all of this, donate to this actual charity. So in that way, it's like, well, she wasn't making money off these people. So it's not, I don't know. But some of the group members were like pissed.
Yeah.
They wanted her prosecuted for fraud, for impersonating people, for like whatever.
I mean, it's bizarre.
Yeah. And then one of the angriest people in this Warrior Eli hoax group was this person named Father James Puryear. And according to Puryear's Facebook profile, he was a 16-year-old single father who wanted to become a preacher. He was the one who found the Durr's old photo bucket account, which turned out to be like an important clue. And he was also like posting how like shocked and horrified he was that anyone would pretend to be someone else online. Like he was very upset. But then the group started introducing themselves, and this Father James Puryear posted this like long, insane story that Taryn recalls saying, he said, I was raped when I was this age. Then I had a kidnapping. Then my twin did this. Just like every kind of red flag. So then Taryn Wright asked for photos of Father James Puryear's two kids. He sent a photo of a kid wearing a Halloween mask. And Taryn's like, well, I don't believe that the photographs that you're sending are real.
Yeah.
So she kicked this guy out of the group. And then 2 weeks later, Father James Puryear, who turned out to be a 24-year-old Massachusetts woman named Carissa Hads, was arrested in West Virginia. She pled guilty to posing as Father James Puryear, the 16-year-old, in order to have sex with a 15-year-old girl she had been talking to over the internet for more than a year.
What is wrong with these people?
In this Warrior Eli hoax group was fake themselves.
Oh,
to be a 16-year-old. Crazy. Everyone's
so crazy. Yes. Ew.
It's not real.
Let's take a quick break for announcements. Web Crawlers has a Patreon to get access to bonus episodes, shout outs, merch discounts, and more. Please go to patreon.com/webcrawlers. You can donate as little as $2 a month to become a patron. Also, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you give us a 5-star review, we will shout you out. And Irios has a hotline. You know it. Insert jingle here.
626-604-6262.
It's really been popping off, and we've been getting tons of messages so far. So please keep them coming, and we will continue to play them.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, back to our program.
So over time, there were like 100 members of this Warrior Eli hoax group. They started investigating like other fake people. There was a part-time rodeo rider with leukemia. a terminally ill 21-year-old teenager undergoing chemotherapy. Each one was exposed as fake.
Oh my God.
And some hoaxers hid behind made-up names and stolen photos. Others posted under their own names and seemed to be faking cancer in real life, too.
Holy shit.
Fucked up. If you're faking cancer in real life, did you start watching the Vanessa Bayer?
No, is it good?
Home Shop. Well, I don't want to. Well, it's not really a spoiler, but like faking cancer is like one of the.
Oh, really?
Plots, and it's really funny. She's really, really funny.
But that's like Brooks on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. One of the women's boyfriends is like faking cancer for.
Oh yeah.
I guess I don't even know why you fake cancer for
attention.
Attention for sympathy. I guess.
It
was so weird.
But like some of the hoaxes were not very good. There was a woman who posed as a dying male soccer player online, stole photos of David Beckham for her fake Facebook profile.
That's good. Good. That's very smart.
Not very good. But like others were very extensive. Some of these hoaxers shaved their heads and bought medical equipment on the internet to make their hospital selfies look more realistic. Like buying hospital equipment to like put in your house.
Is everyone insane?
It's crazy. One had even been voted Patient of the Year by the U.S. Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. Another person had used crowdfunding websites to raise thousands of dollars. I can see that. If you're doing it to raise money, I can see why you would do that. Because you'd get money.
There's a financial incentive.
Yeah.
But
if you're just doing it for attention, like that is so, it's so sad. And
it's like so disgusting.
Yeah. So all these internet sleuths had learned how to spot red flags. There were alleged cancer patients who were bald, but they still had their eyebrow hair.
Interesting.
Yeah, like you can shave your head and be like, I have cancer, but like, why do you still have your eyebrow hair? Like that hair falls out too.
Yeah.
And there were sick people on steroids who didn't have like the typical puffy faced appearance. Like they still look totally normal. But these people were like exposing all these hoaxers and spending like hundreds of hours of research. Like it was just like their like new hobby.
This is so crazy.
But then like if you go back into JS's online persona, who was the husband, was JS.
Okay.
When he existed, JS Durr was constantly posting knowledge he'd gained from dealing with Eli's cancer, his son's cancer, all fake. He would post on Yahoo Answers. I love Yahoo Answers.
Which we all love Yahoo Answers. Let's not lie.
He gave advice to hundreds of strangers dealing with cancer. He would offer tips for fighting night sweats caused by leukemia.
Oh my God.
And then in 2009, he met a girl online who was 14 years old and scared out of her mind in California. So in 2009... this was that Emily Durr girl pretending to be JS, pretending to be like a 30-year-old man.
Interesting. Okay.
So she was probably, I think she would be 18 in 2009. So JS met a girl who was 14, convinced she had leukemia. 2 years earlier, she'd been diagnosed with Crohn's disease and was put on a medication that increased her risk of cancer.
Oh, God.
She started noticing aching joints and pain in her bones.
Me, yeah.
Yeah, you. So she went to Yahoo Answers. She's like, I'm really scared. I have leukemia. And then JS responded, well, it's possible you have leukemia, but at the same time, you may also not have it. In either case, you should have an appointment with the doctor to be sure. And then he would leave his email address, an AOL instant messenger name. Screen name was Crazy Canuck J.
Interesting.
So then the 14-year-old girl was like contacting JS on Instant Messenger.
Oh, God.
He was nearly twice her age. So he was supposedly 28. It was really Emily Durr who was like 18. But they like became friends. JS was somehow always online, even with his demanding police job. He claimed he was a Royal Mounted Canadian policeman. That was his job.
Okay.
And apparently had like 10 kids. They talked for hours every day after school. This girl also received Warrior Eli wristbands in the mail to hand out to her friends. One package came with a handwritten thank you drawing of a car. She assumed it was from Eli, his son. It was all JS.
That is so fucking creepy and weird.
But then one thing they didn't really discuss was JS's past. JS had a twin brother, Sam. They formed an alt-rock band called The Vast Deference.
Oh my God, is that the fallopian tubes or is that the penis?
That's where the cum is. But JS's twin brother had been stabbed to death by his girlfriend when he was 17.
Of course, why not?
But some of JS's relationships went past friendship. So in 2010, a Florida woman named Anna stumbled on JS's Zanga blog, and she was like really into JS's dedication to his son, Eli. They started talking. They were both married. They began like a year-long online love affair.
Oh my God.
So Emily would have been, I think, 19 at this time, like having a love affair with this like married woman in Florida.
So weird.
She was like, he had an awesome sense of humor. He's very open with me, asked about me, how I felt about things. They texted, they sent dirty pictures to each other. They had cyber sex, but she never spoke with him on the phone. That's your first mistake.
Yeah, that's a major no-no.
And then one night when Anna was up chatting with JS, he said, I like you a lot. I mean, a lot. Like, I wish I could have you and Dana, too. Why couldn't I have met you first? And then Anna's like, well, I stupidly felt the same. She's like, I've been married for 13 years, and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I did think I loved him, and he said he loved me as well.
Oh, my God. This is all so dark.
It's so dark. So back in 2013, after this has all been exposed, Taryn Wright, she invited a few dozen friends over and family for a house party. There was an episode of 2020 about online hoaxers that featured the Durr case in an interview with Taryn.
No way.
So I watched the clip of it. Niamh,
oh my God.
From Catfish is on it too, like being interviewed. Of course. So it was Taryn's like, it's my first TV experience or TV appearance.
Oh my God.
But then they showed on 2020 some hidden camera footage of this hoaxer, Emily Durr,
fuck,
like walking down the street. She was like, it's just photo of her. It was like Bigfoot footage. It was just like her walking to her car, like eating a cookie. And like all of Taryn's friends were like making fun of her, like calling her a troll. But then Taryn like instantly felt bad. She was like, oh no, like, this poor girl probably worked hard to get like her life back together. All of a sudden she's on the news on Friday night and everyone's laughing at her.
God, it's so crazy.
So like after the show, Taryn was like, felt pretty uncomfortable about what she did. She's like, oh my God, like I just exposed this girl who's like 22 in med school.
That's interesting.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, she lied to a bunch of people, but like, she's like, oh no, I felt bad. So then Taryn started like talking to all these hoaxers and all the victims, and like she even formed friendships with some of them. And then she like became
Make friends in your 30s.
And then she became friends with this one woman in California who faked several pregnancies and faked cancer. But she was talking to them to, like, understand them more. Like, why are you doing this? And, like, she just kind of felt bad for all of them.
I get it, yeah.
So the more she talked with all these hoaxers, she's like, I think they're just suffering from mental illness or, like, they're lonely. She's like, I don't think a happy person goes and does this.
You think? Yeah.
And she learned to recognize the typical hoaxer profile. She said it's a socially isolated woman in her early 20s, sometimes depressed.
Okay.
Early 20s. That's interesting. I would think it would be...
I will say, I thought it would be older.
Yeah.
I will say, I once made a fake Facebook profile. This was like 11, 12 years ago. I was dating a really bad ex, and he was cheating on me constantly.
Uh-huh.
And I made a fake profile based on the girl's... chose a photo of like the girls he was cheating on me with.
I did
the type of girl he was cheating on me with, because he had a type. And the type was exactly opposite of me and aesthetically. And I Facebook friended him because I just wanted to see if anything would happen. Uh-huh. And he never accepted the friend request. He probably was like, nice try, Allie.
I did this on Instagram, like really Instagram days. I was like, I think my boyfriend's cheating on me. And I made a fake profile and was like talking to him. Like he for sure was cheating on me.
I mean, mine for sure was cheating on me. Like I walked in on him and I found a sex tape on his computer.
Oh yeah. But, solid evidence.
Yeah. But he didn't fall for my catfish, unfortunately.
Who among us has not created fake profiles to figure out if there's significant others cheating? We've all done it.
Classic 20s stuff. You gotta
I think that,
that
profile still is up. So I don't remember what name I had, but I for Maria sure like Bisucci. Found fake photos.
It's so funny. Have you ever been, has anyone ever used you for a catfish?
I don't. You know what? There was, someone sent me a profile, like a Tinder profile of someone using my photo. Like,
yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah.
Over 10 years ago.
Because I wouldn't be surprised since you have like modeling photos. I feel
yeah,
like
yeah, I know. Like you just Google photo. Yeah, someone did. But I think, yeah.
And they got no matches, so they chose a different photo.
They're like, ugh. I'm sure people have used my, that would be amazing if someone like started a relationship with someone.
I know.
Like, no, it's me.
That's so funny.
Oh,
amazing.
Okay, so Taryn Wright. So in 2013, Taryn Wright removed everyone from the Warrior Eli Facebook hoax group.
Oh,
except
wow.
like four other people. So there's still like remaining members and they were still like researching stuff and they all like were in agreement about how to handle hoaxers. Like they weren't going to like out them or like they were just going to like privately message them.
Okay.
But the like the website's still up, but there hasn't been a post since 2016. So I don't really think they're really active anymore.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it.
She's like, we don't want hoaxers to be villainized. They have mental illness. They certainly do bad things. And there are times you research and you get really angry with them. But my hope for all of them is that by being exposed and helping to get them treatment, they can move on and have happier, more productive lives. That's what she said. So that's like a good way to.
I mean, I agree. It, I all this stuff is definitely a form of mental illness by which you definitely need some form of yeah. help. And I think they go that direction, too, in catfish. But it's just, and I think the same could be said for scammers, too.
Yeah, you're a scammer.
It's like, what degree of tolerance do we have for that?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
What degree of like accountability and help is the person seeking once they are outed, and are they continuing with it or do they need to be exposed for the safety of like the community and other people?
Yeah, like I feel like when people are getting money or like making a living off of it,
yeah,
like that's
of a
fucked up.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy.
That's like the first big Facebook hoax, really, because this was like 2012. Well, I mean Facebook has been around for a while, but this was like one of the bigger, like over 70 profiles. Man,
do you remember you needed when Facebook first came out, you needed a college email yeah. address to sign up, and only like a few colleges were at first admitted
yeah.
to have Facebook. I remember I was so lucky. I felt so excited that I was going to USC or it was BU at first because they were allowed on Facebook.
Yeah, I wasn't on Facebook until after they allowed everyone.
Oh, that's because you're a fucking dumb bitch.
Dropped out of college. Sorry.
You are a dumb bitch.
Sorry.
Anyways, if you guys have ever catfished someone, been catfished, been the victim
for
of
sure,
a scam.
Some of our listeners have created fake profiles. I know you have.
Girls, I already know which girls are going to call in. I'm not going to call you out, but I know who's going to call in.
We know.
If you know anything about Munchausen, Munchausen by proxy, Munchausen by internet, if you have ever used Melissa's pictures for a Tinder yeah. profile, Melissa, where can people reach us?
You can email us at webcrawlerspod@gmail.com.
All right. Well, I am Allie Siegel.
I am Melissa Stettin.
And we look forward to hearing from you. Bye.
Bye.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.